Apple's sweetheart deal in Ireland deemed legal enough? From Marketplace in Austin, Texas, I'm Andy Euler, and for David Brancaccio. The question at the center of a major battle at the European Union's second highest court was, how much tax does the Apple Corporation need to pay in Europe, and were they given special treatment? Well, Apple just won that case. Marketplace's Nova Safo joins me now with details. Nova, what's the ruling?
Yeah, the ruling is that Apple does not have to pay back taxes totaling almost $15 billion. The European Union had levied that tax 4 years ago, and Apple has been fighting the case ever since. This is an issue that goes at the heart of how the digital economy and global multinationals are taxed. Apple's European operations, along with more than 1,000 other multinationals, are based in Ireland, where the corporate tax rate is a lot lower than many other European countries and lower than here in the U.S. The EU accused Apple of getting even more special treatment in Ireland and avoiding paying its fair share of taxes. But the EU's general court just ruled the regulators did not meet the legal standard to prove their accusation, so Apple doesn't have to pay. The ruling could still be appealed, Andy, to the bloc's highest court. The EU put out a statement saying they'll consider next steps.
And what is Apple saying at this point?
Well, no reaction yet from Apple to the ruling, but CEO Tim Cook has previously called the EU tax claims political. And it is political in the sense that it is. There is a tug of war going on between the U.S. and Europe over how to tax multinational companies, especially digital companies that can pick and choose where they locate themselves for tax advantages. This is a central question. There have been negotiations between the two sides to come to agreement to tax multinationals where they make their profits. But those talks broke down last month.
Nova, thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Now, I know we're about 3 months past where we normally say this, but today is the deadline for individuals and corporations to file their taxes. The IRS extended the deadline because of COVID-19, but as Marketplace's Justin Ho reports, those extra 3 months have kept accountants and financial planners pretty busy.
The extended tax deadline came as a big relief, says accountant Laurelyn Wilson. She says it gave her more bandwidth to concentrate on other issues, like helping clients apply for Paycheck Protection Program loans.
Being able to, you know, tell our business clients who we also do their taxes for, hey, look, we're just going to focus on this PPP stuff and we'll worry about your tax stuff in a couple months.
And many people have been more concerned with their health or their jobs instead of all the tax paperwork they have to sort out. Phil McCollum is a tax partner at the accounting firm Henry & Horn.
We've had to do more handholding, rightfully so, and really help them focus and walk them through what's needed to be done for the tax return.
And the tax season is far from over. Accountant Brian Stragg says he spent the last 2 weeks preparing extensions, which are due on October 15th.
That's starting to feel a little ominous.
And in that time, Stragg and other accountants say they'll have a lot more on their plates, such as helping clients apply for PPP loan forgiveness. I'm Justin Ho for Marketplace.
Let's check the numbers. The FTSE in London is up 1.3%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all up in the 0.5% to 1% range, with the Dow future up 27 points. Men's pro basketball in the U.S. is scheduled to restart in a little more than 2 weeks on July 30th. Players, support staff, and the media covering the games are currently under quarantine protocol. Joe Varden, senior NBA writer at The Athletic, is one of those reporters stuck in the bubble right now. Joe, good morning.
Good morning.
So estimates have the NBA spending $150 million on this bubble, this isolated microeconomy. You've been there for a couple of days. You probably don't know how everything goes down, but just give us a sense of how things work, where you're paying for things, how you're getting stuff.
Oh, boy. I mean, that's an interesting place to start. I have the number at closer to $170 million. And you're talking about everything from the rooms at these three Disney resorts, catering, entertainment, and then there is the matter of testing. The NBA is paying for, you're talking about hundreds of tests every day by BioReference Labs. They take them every day and drive them back to the laboratory in Melbourne, Florida. So you asked me how we are paying for all this. It costs every reporter here $550 a day. You get three meals out of that, you get a room, and you get a COVID test.
The NBA is spending that amount of money for the remaining 8 regular season games and playoffs, but for the NBA and the brand, I imagine it's worth that money.
Yeah, I mean, you know, in this case, they had, in the short term, for this year, $1 billion plus riding on this. Like, they have to play the playoffs to get their playoff money from TV. And so they felt that the only way they could do this safely was in a bubble. And you're going to have to pay somebody to create the bubble, either Vegas or Disney. And, you know, Disney's already a partner paying the league, actually, for that playoff TV money. So, you know, it's kind of confusing to figure out, well, how the money changes hands. But that's what it costs.
The big money with this league and with a lot of leagues is that TV contract, because you're not going to sell any tickets or you're not going to have any folks sort of watching these games. You have to meet that contract obligation, and also for the sponsors as well, right?
No, absolutely. I mean, the whole system is set up on this idea that you're going to get $2.6 billion a year from TV, but you only get that money if you fulfill the contract. The TV networks, so we're talking about Turner and Disney, continued to pay the league its scheduled payments on that contract, even while everything was at, when there were no games being played. If for whatever reason the league has to shut this down before we get started on July 30th, that money has to come back.
Joe Vardon is senior NBA writer for The Athletic. Joe, thank you so much for doing this.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Now, the WNBA will actually restart before the men do on July 24th in Bradenton, Florida, about an hour and a half west of the men's facility in Orlando. No media were allowed into that bubble, however. They'll be streaming the games, but all those live look-ins and that sweet bubble footage we're all looking for, it's going to have to come via video calls. I'm Andy Euler with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.